Good morning and welcome to the Community Calendar. I'm Jazzy, and of course in the studio with me this morning I have special guests Richard Miles, Emmanuel Lloyd, and Broderick McCoy. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm great.
That's good.
And I'm glad you're doing good.
I want you to tell me a little bit about your story and how you were falsely imprisoned for 15 years.
Well, my name is Richard Miles, born and raised in Dallas, Texas. I'm 37 years old. Back in 1994, I was on my way home in North Dallas, walking home. A murder had happened at Club New York, New York.
Okay.
In the process of me walking home, some police cars came by, jumped out the police car, told me to get on the ground. At this point in time, I didn't know what was going on. They was patting me down, asking me, where did you get, where's the gun, where's the gun? And I began to ask them what's going on. They read me my Miranda rights, didn't tell me what I was actually being apprehended for, and placed me in the police car. I was then taken to a Texaco service station and taken out the police car, gun ballistics test, then taken to homicide. When I got to homicide, the detective Hooker asked me where I had been that night. I had gave him phone numbers of the guy that drove me to North Dallas because mm-hmm. I was in Oak Cliff. One of my friends that drove me from Oak Cliff to North Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I gave the detective his number, his mom's number, his girlfriend's number, and my friend that I was staying with in North Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
The detective went out, came back about 30 minutes later, and he said, you know, your story checked out, but you killed these people and you're going to prison. So a three-hour interview turned into a 17-month stay in Lutheran County Jail.
Wow.
August of 1995, I was convicted of murder and attempted murder, and I received 80 years in prison.
How were they able to convict you of a crime without proper evidence?
What happened was when I went to the Texaco service station, they took me out the police car. It was 10 witnesses all together. 9 of them said I didn't do it. 1 person said I did. The 1 person that said I did was the one that was behind the Texaco service station. When they took me out the police car, he was looking directly at me while they was doing the gun ballistics test.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drove him to homicide and showed him a photographic lineup. The description of the shooter was 6'2", 6'4", real dark complected, had on a white muscle shirt. I had on a white muscle shirt, and I was the only person in the photographic lineup with a white muscle shirt on.
Mm.
The gun ballistics test that they did came back positive in the palm of my right hand, but negative anywhere else. With those two pieces of evidence, that's what I was convicted on.
Why do you think you came back positive in one of your hands?
In 2010, Vicki Howell, which was the expert witness on the case, signed an affidavit which was printed in the Dallas Morning News. The test never was positive.
Wow.
Gunshot residue is made up of antimonium and barium, mm-hmm. which is just chemicals, it's dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can screw the ratio. When I was laying on the ground, spread out, when they put the handcuffs on and you have your hands in your back, they did the gun ballistics test in an uncontrolled environment outside. So it's so many different elements that could have tainted that did taint the test.
Right.
And then the gentleman that testified against me in 2010 signed an affidavit, which was printed in the Dallas Morning News,
mm-hmm.
that the prosecutor, when he went to testify that day, he told the prosecutor that he didn't remember the guy. He said, man, I don't know. The
wow.
prosecutor took my picture out of his pocket and said, this is Richard Miles. He's sitting next to his lawyer. When you go in the courtroom, I'm going to ask you, do you see the person that did the shooting? Just point to him. All of this was printed in the Dallas Morning News. The guy said when he went into the courtroom, he had never seen me a day in his life. The only reason why he pointed me out was because the prosecutor told him to.
I'm speaking with Richard Miles, who was falsely imprisoned in Dallas, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
How long did you stay in jail?
15 years. I was incarcerated at the age of 19, and I was released at the age of 34.
How did you regain your freedom?
Basically, I wrote. I wrote everybody and anybody. NAACP, I wrote Montel Jordan, Oprah Winfrey. If you had an address, I wrote you, you know. And eventually an organization out of Princeton, New Jersey, Jim McCluskey, and Centurion Ministries, they got my case. They were the only organization at that point in time which was doing non-DNA. And that's the other thing about my case. I was one of the first non-DNA, no recantation exonerations. Prior to me, the average exoneration was sexual assault crimes.
Exactly.
Where you take basic DNA, compare it, we got the wrong guy.
Right.
You know, so mine was a lot more complex. But Centurion Ministries is the only organization at that point in time that did non-DNA. When they started doing the stuff, they bought all my transcripts and all my trial records and police records. In the police record, they found a phone memo. Months before I went to trial, a girl was getting abused by her boyfriend who had been bragging about killing two people last year. She called homicide, told him his name, who he was with, the type of gun he used, where it was at. That evidence was never turned over.
And that happened to be the person that did the actual crime.
That was the actual person.
In your case.
Right.
Wow. Been in jail 15 years?
Yes, ma'am.
How did that affect your life?
Basically and really and honestly, I didn't know it affected my life until after I was released, because when you're in prison, you're stagnant.
Mm-hmm.
Everything and every day is repetitious. You know, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you go in your cell, you go to sleep. So you don't know that your life is stagnant. When I got out, outside of just technology, period, just basically dealing with people every day, dealing with women, y'all are some very interesting individuals.
Watch yourself.
I'm just saying it. It's just hard because the defining parts of a man, the years I was incarcerated. So I was basically defined in an inhumane environment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like going through a fire and coming out without being smelling like smoke. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So I don't really know to what degree it actually messed me up. And then when I say messed up, it stagnated me. Going into prison at 19, getting out at 34.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I look like a man who's competent and able to do taxes, who's competent and able to do this, but I haven't had the
experience. Mentally. Right.
Mentally, nor physically. So it stagnated my growth.
Mm-hmm. If someone is listening to your story right now and maybe they know somebody that is in jail and they think that they're falsely imprisoned, what would you recommend that they do?
I think the first thing that you need to do is believe and know that they're innocent.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about integrity. You know, you don't want to just say that you believe this person is innocent and they're really not innocent. But if the person is innocent, the district attorney's office, Craig Watkins, they have this criminal integrity unit. You have Joyce Ann Brown, Mass, the Dallas exonerees compiled together. We have even started doing our own private investigations on cases where people are actually innocent, because we ran into people in prison that we know are innocent.
Oh, okay.
And so we're now, we have a case right now that's hopefully getting ready to come out, and that's going to be great. You know, there are many different organizations that aid and assist now, you know, with false imprisonment.
Mm-hmm. There's a bright note, though, to this story, is
right.
that you were released.
Right,
and
right.
Hopefully you were compensated.
I was released in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But my case wasn't finished until 2012.
Okay.
And I was finally compensated.
Good.
I was blessed.
You should be.
Mm-hmm.
You should be. Because they took a lot of years from your life,
mm-hmm.
and they should pay you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a bright side that when you, upon your release, you decided to start an organization, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
all right.
Ma'am.
Tell us a little bit about your organization.
Well, when I was released, I'm going to go back. My father, Bishop William L. Lloyd, he passed 5 months before I got out.
Mm-hmm.
We started a prison ministry in prison, our church. Mm-hmm. What they would do was they would send Sunday school books in, and the men would do the Sunday school lessons, and they would send them back. And I kind of coordinated that in prison.
Okay.
When I got out, I didn't have anything. I didn't have a compensation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an apartment. I didn't have a job. So the walk that I walked was a walk of somebody that was actually guilty of a crime.
So you had to start from scratch.
I had to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. And it was a hard walk. Mm-hmm. My brother, Emmanuel, he got into some trouble. And his walk was hard. And so what I began to think about was the children of Israel and the Gentiles. The children of Israel, to me, is an exoneree. Because when you get out, you have a promise. Mm-hmm. The Gentiles is somebody that's actually convicted. Mm-hmm. They have no promise for a productive life, even if they want one. The only way that they can have a productive life, it has to be a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. The 15 years that I did was a sacrifice to perform Miles of Freedom, which is a business right now, and we're working towards our nonprofit 501c3. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, and bottom line, a prison ministry that's geared towards a productive reentry of people coming out of prison.
Your organization is called Miles of Freedom.
Uh-huh.
And it helps people who were in jail, whether they were falsely in prison or in prison on their own accord because they were guilty. You try to help them find work.
Yes, that's only one thing.
Okay.
It's so many different elements. First, we start in prison with spiritual teaching and training. We transition outside. We've networked with Chase Bank that's going to be doing financial training classes. We've networked with Jamie Page and Texas A&M, which will have the counseling, relationship counseling, marriage counseling. I'm always out here trying to network with different people that can bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to add another spoke to stabilize it.
I'm speaking with Richard Miles, and he was falsely in prison for 15 years here in Dallas, and he was exonerated. And upon his release, he has started an organization. It's called Miles of Freedom. And it sounds like your organization starts by going inside of the prisons, mm-hmm. starting the change there, and upon their release, try to keep the previously imprisoned person
right.
on the right track.
Right. You have to create that rapport.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the organizations out here, you know, you go in and you might stop coming out. Or you never go in and you try to catch them coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you go in and start with them, you create that rapport.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have that communication. And you transition out, you'll become basically more of a family to them than the family that probably wasn't visiting them while he was in.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people who have been in prison, just from me just doing what I do, that they say when they are released from prison, they can't get jobs because they have a felony or it's hard for people to give them a second chance. And so that's pretty much what your organization is specializing in, is trying to help people get second chances. Do you have any success stories with your organization?
We have numerous success stories. First and foremost, even before Miles of Freedom was even brought about, we had my brother Emmanuel, when he got out, he couldn't get a job, mm-hmm. couldn't lock a job in. So what he did was he went and bought a water tank and a truck, and he began to do mobile detail. So Cool Breeze Detail was started up. And then we got some bounce houses. So now it's KB Rentals. You know, we have a lawn service, M&L Lawn Service, that was started up before Miles of Freedom came in. When Miles of Freedom came in, we began to network with other people to whereas now we have hopefully a contract with a construction company.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already sending people to work, and we bought a van to make sure if you want to work and you ain't got no car, well, meet us over here and we'll take you to where you need to go.
That's
but you got to want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And also we're networking with other people like Broderick right here,
mm-hmm.
who's with BMS Entertainment. And also he has a nonprofit organization to whereas he's getting clothes in. And it's kind of crazy that we met because that's another entity of Miles of Freedom. When you come out, we want to how much storage?
I have a storage full of clothes, you know, for the people that are coming out. For the women, that's also in shelters just as well. We have a storage that's set up with clothes and everything and some furniture also just as well. It's called a way of life. You know, we want to make sure when they come out, we want to give them a better way of life just as well. So, you know, it's,
are the clothes free?
Yes. Everything is donated to me, and I donate it to them. I donate it to the people that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that's unfortunate like us, you know, well, they have clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, we go to the shelters, not only the shelters that we go to, but we also, people that, like Maz is helping out, well, they come out, we have something for them.
How could somebody reach out to you if they were interested in getting some clothes?
Oh, they can contact me. We got an email at birdman214@yahoo.com,
mm-hmm.
or they can contact me by cell phone number, 214-723-2968.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can contact me anytime of day, anytime of night. You know, we're there to assist with anything.
All right. That sounds like a really good program. And it's good because some people, when they get out of jail, they don't have the appropriate clothes to go on job interviews and things mm-hmm. like that. So that's a really good program that you have going on.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to speak with you, Emmanuel, about your role with this organization, Mouths of Freedom. I'm Jazzy, and you are listening to The Community Calendar.